I hope you caught and held on to some of the words of the song, Did Trouble Me, that the junior high choir sang just before the scripture litany. The verses of the song took us through a series of circumstances and personal perspectives that we've all known. When I closed my eyes so I would not see, when I let things stand that should not be, when I held my head too high, too proud, when I raised my voice too little, too loud, when I held myself away and apart, and the tears of my brother, the tears of my sister didn't move my heart. A series of circumstances of postures from which God, according to the song, is the one who has awakened us. My Lord did trouble me. And then the chorus, did trouble me with a word or a sign, with the ringing of a bell in the back of my mind, did trouble me, did stir my soul, for to make me human, to make me whole. I don't know that the songwriter, Susan Werner, had this morning's scripture text in mind when she wrote the song, but even if she didn't, I hear the words, did trouble me, did stir my soul, as an echo of the stirring of the healing waters that the sick man awaits in the story. In the scripture story, if the waters will stir, when the waters stir, if he can be the first one down into the water, he can be healed. But if no one is paying attention, if no one will help him, if the people around will close their eyes so they will not see, will let things stand that should not be, will hold their heads too high, too proud, will raise their voices too little, too loud, will hold themselves away and apart, and the tears of their brother, their weak, sick brother lying there, waiting there, won't move their hearts, then nothing will change. Healing won't come. If no one is troubled by the situation, if no one is stirred in soul, then the stirring of the water won't matter in the least. The man needs someone to pick him up at exactly the right moment, at exactly the right moment. He needs the water to be stirred for sure, because that's the sign that the spirit of healing is stirring. But then he also needs someone else to be stirred, to pick him up and put him in. 38 years he's been waiting. 38 years he's been ill, lying there waiting. 38 years is a long time. Do you, junior high youth, have any idea how long 38 years is? It's as long as your youth pastor, Seth, has been alive. And he's an old man, wouldn't you say? It's been that long. And in all that time, no one's been willing, no one's been available, no one's been stirred to put the man into the healing waters. No one, not once. Now, on the one hand, when you hear a story like that, 38 years of waiting for a convergence of waters stirring and help coming, it feels like it's been almost entirely a matter of bad timing. Maybe the man does have a friend or two. Maybe he has a brother or a sister who comes to visit him from time to time, or a childhood friend. Maybe he's not completely alone, completely without able-bodied friends. But the timing, no one who can help him is ever there at the right time. Imagine the scene as he's waiting there. And of course, he's not the only one waiting. If this pool has healing powers, there is no doubt quite a crowd of people. Blind, lame, and paralyzed people are all on the list given in the scripture, a crowd of people waiting. And maybe some of them have been waiting for a shorter time than the main character in our story, waiting a couple of days at the very least, or a few weeks or months, or even a couple of years. But for some reason, these other people have had the advantage and have acted upon it because no one else has been stuck there for 38 years, like the man at the center of the story. The others who are seeking healing must have had the advantage, whether it's because they were closer to the pool, or they were more ambulatory, or they had a companion with them. But our guy, he's just been waiting there all that time. So it seemed that everyone else has gotten their chance at moving into the pool in the right timing, while he keeps falling to the end of the line. The man who has been there 38 years says to Jesus, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the water when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." And what he is saying is that again and again, while he's dragging himself toward the water, someone else gets there first. And he misses the healing moment. It's a matter of poor timing for him. It all comes down to timing, you might say. But you know what? It isn't just about timing. I know the man's story is that the water is stirred up from time to time, but it never happens at the moment when he can get there first, that timing's the issue. But Jesus wipes that excuse away. Stand up, take your mat, and walk. Jesus heals him on the spot. After 38 years of waiting, Jesus heals him on the spot. No water needed, no stirring of the pool needed. So we have to ask, what's the point of getting in the pool? What's the point of waiting for the healing waters, the moment of stirring and getting into the pool first when there's a different way? What's this matter of focusing all one's energy and commitment to the matter of timing, finding precisely the right moment for help and healing? What's the point when all it seems is needed is a few words from Jesus? Jesus who just happens by on a regular day in a random moment. If Jesus can heal whenever he wants, does it really matter when or if the waters are stirred? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe the timing of the movement of the waters, of those who need to get into the waters, shouldn't be the only focus. If someone can lay there for 38 years and never get the timing right, can never get the timing for healing right, then maybe working on the timing isn't the answer. The answer could be something else. That is, maybe the answer isn't just timing, but presence. Maybe it's about Jesus showing up. That certainly is the suggestion we could take from John's story. Jesus shows up, and suddenly the issue of timing doesn't matter. What's happening or not happening in the healing pool doesn't matter. Instead, it's Jesus, his attentiveness, compassion, initiative. These things come into play. These things become the things that matter, along with his divine healing power. So the Jesus who happens by becomes the answer to the man's needs. But I have a question for us. Where does that put us in relation to the story? Are we spectators? Cheerleaders for Jesus? People who just watch over the mysteries of healing by keeping an eye on the pool? And how do we feel? Are we sympathetic to the man who's been waiting for 38 years? Sympathetic or suspicious or stirred up? What do we see? What do we feel? What do we do? If we're in the story, what are we going to do? Are we going to watch and wait for the waters to stir because that's the old way that healing happens? Are we going to watch and wait for Jesus to show up because apparently that's the new way that healing happens? Are we going to sit in judgment of 38 years of waiting because that seems like a foolish waste of time? And anyone who waits that long is foolish. Are we going to be onlookers, second guessers, passers-by, or something else? Are we going to do something else? Are we going to do something else for the sake of the healing of the world? Are we going to ignore that sense of being troubled that God puts upon us? Or are we going to stop by and stir something up? We live in a world where we are becoming aware that just watching and waiting won't work. Waiting for the earth to heal itself, for the climate to restore itself, won't work. Waiting for the poor to get what they need from the social systems as they are currently established won't work. waiting for the judicial system to sort itself out in terms of financial or racial or class bias, when the percentage of poorer people and racial minorities being incarcerated keeps going up, won't work. Waiting for jobs to come back to people and to places where they are unlikely to come back won't work. Waiting for the waters to stir on their own won't work. And we live in a world where Jesus isn't just going to happen by. So praying to God without engaging with God, without asking God, where am I in this story, won't work. We live in a world where certainly hurting people are lying by the healing pool, so to speak, waiting for the right moment for something good to happen, but also knowing that there are not enough water-stirring moments to go around. There's not enough luck to go around. There are too many people in line. Too many others who have some even slight advantage when it comes to securing resources or relief. Just enough advantage to get to the pool first when the waters stir. And for people who have nothing and no one, the timing's never going to work out. And in today's world, Jesus isn't going to show up like he did in the story from all those years ago. There's a lot that isn't going to help the situations the world is facing, but that isn't going to move the dial toward healing. But there is hope. There is hope. Because what we do have in this present world of hurt, is that we live in a world in which we are present. And the Lord has troubled us. We are capable of being stirred up. And when we are stirred up, we can stir things up. The Jesus of the Gospels may not come walking by, but we who are right here can be the hands and feet of the risen Christ. We can be the eyes and ears of the risen Christ. We can be people who, Christ-like, have compassion in our hearts and attentiveness in our minds and initiative in our hands. But only if we get stirred up. We can't wait for the waters to stir. Just as we can't wave our hands in the direction of the hurting, the suffering, the ill, wave to them and say, just wait for the waters to stir. Just wait. No, it's us. We need to get stirred up. We need the Lord to trouble us, to stir our souls. We need to stop thinking of everything as being rightfully dependent on the luck of timing, rightfully dependent on the good fortune of who happens to be in front of an empty chair when the music stops, rightfully dependent on the luck of being a person who just happens to have an advocate rather than being someone who is alone in the world, rightfully dependent on the accident of birth in terms of who is advantaged and who is disadvantaged. We can't be the people of Christ if we are the kind of people who advise others to just wait for the waters to stir, rather than being people who are ourselves stirred up. When I closed my eyes so I would not see, when I let things stand that should not be, when I held my head too high, too proud, when I raised my voice too little, too loud, when I held myself away and apart, and the tears of my sister, the tears of my brother didn't move my heart, my Lord did trouble me with a word or a sign, with the ringing of a bell in the back of my mind, did trouble me, did stir my soul for to make me human, to make me whole. We are not fully human, and we will not be healed ourselves until we are stirred up about the needs of all humankind, the well-being of our neighbors, and the spiritual importance of the human quest to become whole, to become whole in a way that invites holiness into the world. Now, you can't be stirred up all the time. You can't be stirred up about everything. But you can be stirred up about something that matters to you. something that God has placed on your heart. Maybe you are stirred up about the man who is lying at the back of the line, who is farthest from the healing waters. That's a metaphor, but what does it mean in real life? In your real life experience, you can be stirred up. You should be stirred up about something that matters to you, something that God has placed upon your heart. What is it? And what are you going to do? Jesus says to the man by the pool, "Stand up, take your mat, walk." Maybe that's where we are in the story as well, receiving instruction to be well and to walk. No more lying there for any of us. No more waiting. Time to walk. My Lord did trouble me with a word or a sign, with the ringing of a bell in the back of my mind, did trouble me, did stir my soul, for to make me human, to make me whole. May it be so. Amen.